And we're thanking Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon for, of course, for presenting the podcasts and all of Ira's work on JoeBucksFan.com. Get knockout savings during the Summer Sales Challenge at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. That's right. We're challenging all other dealers to give you our lowest prices and payments on a certified pre-owned Cadillac like a 2015 SRX for only $25,985. Plus, every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. The Summer Sales Challenge is on. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fees. See a dealer for limited warranty details. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the place to start. And this is your final chance to get made-to-move clearance savings at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Brian Danahy, general manager, he's got the final countdown of the Ed Morris Summer Sales Challenge. Don't miss out on the 2017 CTS sedan, just $329. It's all coming to an end. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. CTS courtesy vehicle, approved credit, 39-month lease, 10K annual miles. All the details are at the dealership. The offer expires at the end of the month. It's hard to believe summer is ending, but the great summer offers continue at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Check out their websites to get it all started. Of course, Mr. Kaufman, all of those Ed Morris offers, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, end of the month, they're done. Of course, you will be continuing on here at JoeBucksFan.com into September. So is that really an announcement, Ira?
Well, I mean, you're going to kick yourself if you don't take advantage of these deals. They don't come along very often, Steve, and they're not forever. So I'm going to swing by this week because there's a little bonus in my check forthcoming, according to you and Lee. I think I might take myself down to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and see what the boys got for me.
You're going to start the process. Start the process. Good. The fans here are already excited, Ira. Now, we're here. Everybody's here for your sage wisdom on the Buccaneers. That's what it's all about. So we have yet to talk about Thursday night's game, preseason game 2. I'm sure you were riveted on your couch with the Riesling, a little popcorn, maybe a Knish or two. And
I thought Gruden did a great job. I was listening very closely to Gruden. Of course, as you guys know, I've been in his lair many times.
Lair.
That dark room with the only light emanating from his laptop, and you can tell the preparation he does. I mean, he approaches it like a coach, like a scout. The information he's got on both teams is incredible. Even some of the backup guys, the third stringers. So I want to do a shout out to Gruden on his birthday. He did a heck of a job. But more importantly, from a Buck perspective, Steve, I think fans are getting a little jaded around here. That was a very good performance. Now, Lee, you could argue that Jacksonville's not a good team. They didn't have Jalen Ramsey. They didn't have Leonard Fournette. Well, I didn't see Grimes out there either. And the fact was that first half, you could either look at the score or you can look at the way the game. You can do the eyeball test. The eyeball test said these two teams aren't in the same class. The Bucs kicked their ass all first half long. It probably should have been 20 to nothing, but it wasn't. Evans arguably dropped the touchdown. I didn't think it was an easy catch, but as Cutter said, Mike Evans makes that catch. Mm-hmm. Great receivers, and he's a great receiver. Mm-hmm. Winston sharp as a knife, one bonehead play. Okay, I can accept that if you throw 29 passes. Running game looked good. Martin looked good. The O-line, I thought, was extraordinary. That's the best I've seen the offensive line play in a heck of a long time. Again, here comes Isbitz. He's writing things down.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me say it before Isbitz grabs that
microphone.
I got two
things.
It's only an
going.
Exhibition game. I understand that. But they were mediocre against Cincinnati, and that might be being kind. And I thought they looked very good against Jacksonville. And here come the big bad Browns into town, Lee. So I expect another good performance from Tampa.
I got two things, and real quick here. We're recording this Monday as the eclipse is beginning, and Lord only knows what Isbitz is writing down for comebacks here. You know, he may be possessed by some kind of magic in the sky.
Don't look in the sun today, Stephen. I don't want you to burn those retinas, baby.
Two things about that, what you said about the game, that fans are getting jaded. I was at Jacksonville. I was up in the press box, and I was sandwiched, and it was a pleasant sandwich. To my left was the lovely and talented Annie Sabo of News Channel 8. And to my right, I failed to find out who she was, but she was a TV sports reporter. I don't know. I'm guessing either Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Orlando.
How do you get seats like that, the Kemper? Do rejigger the seating chart? Did you go up there and make some changes?
Well, maybe you have to ask Brooke Skelly, I don't know, or the Jacksonville people. But at any rate,
you're supposed to be next to Greg Allman. Meanwhile,
he doesn't want that, I know.
Continue.
But there was something wrong with the air conditioning, by the way, in the press box. I was schwitzing like an Airedale. Schwitzing.
That had nothing to do with the air conditioning and a lot to do with Annie Safe. And
I had to pour on the cologne like a cheap pimp just so I could be somewhat presentable for the ladies.
You may continue.
So anyway, on the lady to my right, like I said, I'm guessing it was either just by our conversations and the questions she was asking me, a lot of questions about Jameis, I'm guessing it was either Orlando, Tallahassee, or Jacksonville. That's my guess where she was from. I'm not positive. At any rate, she was overlooking my shoulder and saw me put out a Twitter, which... She could have done whatever she wanted to do. I really, really didn't care. And I put out a tweet. Like, the tweet I put out was, I really want to heap praise on the Bucs defense, but ... Bortles, hashtag context. And she thought that was hysterical.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I mean, there's always two ways to look at it, Steve. And Bortles is hanging by a thread. You know, I can't believe that how much this guy has eroded.
Oh, my gosh. And that one hot pass he had?
Wait a minute, it was a good performance.
Hold on with the football for a second. Have you ever, quote-unquote, as you said, rejiggered a seating chart to get between a couple of ladies?
No, not to get to get away from a couple of people. I have rejiggered a chart.
That has been done. All right, continue. Blake Bortles.
I have no pride. You know, I admit these things, DeKemper. back to Blake Bortles. Gentlemen, this is a very difficult sentence for me to utter without laughing at the end of it, but Blake Bortles is about to lose his job to Chad Henne. Let me say that again. Chad Henne. This is a guy who drew 35 touchdowns 2 years ago at the age of what, 22?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Coughlin's got no patience for this guy, and more importantly, guys, Coughlin has no ties to this man, and neither does Doug Marrone, and that's ultimately going to be the end of Blake Bortles.
It seems ever since Bortles dumped his bikini model girlfriend because he claimed she was getting too much attention, his career has spiraled out of control.
He better find her and get back with her.
There you go. Now, here's the second point I had. And a guy was going back and forth with Joe Buckshand on Twitter this morning about this. He equated Evans' drop, that touchdown drop that you referred to, as equally as bad as Jameis' ultimate bonehead play.
That's crazy.
Well, it's beyond crazy because Jameis' play, by the grace of God, it was called a sack. That should have been a turnover.
Jameis' play was a decision. Evans was not a decision.
Thank you. It was beyond a bonehead decision. Where Mike Evans dropping a pass was not a bonehead decision, number one. Number two, it was not a turnover. Number three, the Bucs still could have scored. Had Jameis, had that been a turnover? An interception? Well, the Bucs would have had 0 points. So there's no way you could equate
Steve,
the two.
The only reason that play is worth mentioning is that it was because it was Mike Evans. If it was Bernard Reedy, we'd say, they almost connected for a touchdown. It was a tough catch, and then Reedy couldn't come up with it. We expect Mike Evans to get everything. Look, you guys know how I feel. He's the best player on this team. Maybe for the last couple of years, he's been the best player on this team. He's going to have a monster season. I can't wait for that fantasy draft. I don't want to give away anything over there, Steve, but if I can get Mike Evans, I'd walk away happy in the first round.
Now, of course, you exercised and revealed some sage wisdom there when you said it was a decision by Jameis, not a physical error. That was your sage wisdom there. Well said. However, Ira, I've got my list of notes here.
There should not be a however. When there's a however... And you've got a microphone in your hands. I'm wincing a little bit.
Ira, you're getting a little soft. You just told the good people, the good Bucs fans tuning in, that arguably Mike Evans dropped the ball. Arguably that was a drop. Are you kidding me? If that was Freddie Martino, we'd be killing him this morning, saying, "Come on, guy, get back."
I don't know about that. I thought it was
right in his hands.
I thought it was a fairly difficult catch that he should have made because he's Mike Evans. I tell you what, it wasn't as bad as the two drops. The first balls that Chad Henne threw,
those were breadbasket
catches.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say this about Mike Evans. Maybe, since that was a 43-yard, should have been completion, 2 yards deep in the end zone to make that 45, and Jameis threw it about 52. When's the last time Evans even caught a ball that far? That's why we got guys for explosive plays. So maybe he's just not used to it, but you can't not catch that football.
All right, but meanwhile, Mike Evans is getting an A for his preseason so far. He looks outstanding.
He's got two drops in less than a full game.
I don't think that first one was a drop. That ball was behind him. on that crossing pattern.
Hey, he believes
it's
a drop.
That was a bad throw. Not the touchdown.
Yeah, it wasn't a great throw.
But he's got to catch that, too. Right. And he said, even on Hard Knocks, he said, got my hands on it three different times. I couldn't pull it in. But we're being hard on him, and Mike Evans is not the problem.
That's all right. The cutter's hard on Jameis Winston.
Absolutely. And you know what? Tom Coughlin, you just telling us that he's a sage here.
He's the man.
He's the man. He's the one who gave Blake Bortles the fifth-year option.
See what happens when he starts writing?
He didn't want to make a decision on Bortles without seeing the guy. He gave him one more chance, and it looks like Bortles has blown it.
Yeah, and that's next year that they own the money, not this year. Fifth year for Bortles is next year. They blew it over there in Jacksonville.
When you miss on a first-round quarterback,
it kills you.
What I think is kind of funny, timing-wise, today, Monday, while we record this, it's the last stop on the SiriusXM NFL training camp tour where they go and do a whole show in-depth, shine a national spotlight on a team. And where are they today? In Jacksonville.
They saved the best for last.
They're going to kill them all day long and back and forth.
Is it Booger and Zig?
I don't really know who's out there.
Because generally you can figure out how they respect the team if, like, Booger, I love Booger.
You're right.
But when they said Booger and Zig to cover a team for their show.
Then you're the Browns. You're the Browns.
Actually, from listening this morning, I believe it is Miller and Kerwin.
Oh, is that right?
I believe it is, mostly because it's on a Monday. Usually they send the real D-list guys on the weekend, and I know Zig was on the air this morning, so he's probably not in Jacksonville.
Hey, Steve, we got to remember, a year ago at this time, people were looking at the Jaguars like they're looking at the 2017 Bucks. Team on the rise, young quarterback.
Yeah.
Boy, things have really changed.
Well, what was interesting is when I was driving to the stadium, I still call it the Gator Bowl on purpose. If that financial institution wants me to call it that, they can cut a check to me.
Not easy to get
just
through
like they, just like they can cut a check to the Jaguars. So I was driving to the stadium, and I was listening to the Jags radio network.
Went over that bridge? Did you go over a bridge to get to the stadium?
Yeah, that green bridge. It's a cool bridge. At any rate, I was driving listening to the Jags radio network, and the way they were talking about Bortles and Henny and the quarterback situation, rewind to circa 1913 locally in the Tampa Bay area with Josh Freeman. It sounded the exact same thing. Half the people want to get rid of him. Half the people want to keep him.
He did. I thought he was talking about your high school graduation for a minute.
2013.
That might be the line of the podcast. It came early.
1913. You were a twinkle in your father's eye.
I mean,
Steve, if Fournette's the real deal and he runs for 1,300 yards and stays healthy, you know, maybe they can win 7 or 8 games. Maybe they can.
All right, let me dial into your sage wisdom, Ira. The Buccaneers, let's put it in broader perspective. This is preseason, and they are playing the Bengals, who nobody expects to be in the playoffs this year.
Really?
I don't think anybody really puts them as a favorite.
They look like an average team.
Marvin
always finds a way to fight for a title.
Usually does.
No, not last year.
Weren't they in the playoffs last year?
The Bengals? No,
I think Dalton got hurt.
They won, four games last year? Five games, I believe.
I must be thinking the previous year when Dalton was hurt.
And you've got the Jaguars, who have issues, and now the dress rehearsal, quote-unquote, is against the Browns. So the Bucs are not really testing themselves against the competition they need to beat at all whatsoever. As the sage of Tampa Bay sports, what kind of impact does this have on the team? Is this a bad thing?
Well, I judge by, how do you look? And, Lee, we got to admit it. The first team offense looks good. They're driving the ball, and they're driving it from the start, Steve. Now, we've talked about the first quarter woes of this franchise, even with Jameis Winston under center, especially with Jameis Winston under center. Do they have to finish drives? Do they have to get better in the red zone? Yes, Lee, no question about it. But they've overcome terrible field position in Cincinnati, and they got off to a hot start again the other night in Jacksonville. Lee, you were there. If you were a Jags fan in the crowd and there's 3 minutes left and a half, you're looking at your buddy across the aisle and you're saying, they're killing us. We got nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Steve, half glass empty, half glass full. All I know is some of the guys that need to step up for the Bucs, like a Hargraves, like a Godwin, like a Doug Martin, Peyton Barber maybe, an Ali Marpet, they're getting the job done.
Yeah, as Steve said in his podcast, Monday Morning Joe, Ali Marpet for the first time on live bullets. Really looked sharp.
First time he ever lined up in his life in a game as a center.
Against Calais Campbell.
Stunning. Stunning. I mean,
and Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell. You're
right.
Yeah,
it's not chopped liver.
Not chopped liver.
No, they've got talent there in Jacksonville. You know, when you put the starting corners on and the Bucs didn't exactly rack up the points.
Poslozny's a good linebacker.
And they've got defensive talent all over the place. And look, Coughlin's building a run-first team, and their running back wasn't there. So, but whatever.
As you said late in the first half, and I put this out on Twitter as well, there was a whole lot of grumbling in the stands and had nothing to do with the price of beers.
Absolutely.
Now, Ira, speaking of the game, Chris Baker, you watched the game, and you went to the post-game news conference the following day, the day after press conference, and you had a question for Dirk Koetter on defensive tackles and Baker and McDonald and the competition and what you saw. So give us a background there and what happened and what your take is.
Lee, the game was a couple of minutes old. I went to the fridge to get a beet salad, and when I came back, Swaggy Baker was on the bench. Yeah, you know, rooting against Nick Folk over there, probably.
By the way, what is the dressing of choice for the beet salad?
Oil and vinegar.
Okay.
Oil and vinegar.
Now that we have that out of the way,
I asked what I thought was a legitimate question, which is, you know, is there real competition at D tackle next to Gerald McCoy? Now, Lee, maybe I'm being presumptuous here, but in my mind, Clint McDonald's had a better camp than Swaggy Baker, mostly because he shows up. but I think McDonald's put in a couple of good games. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Koetter appreciated the question because I think, Steve, if correct me, from the day that Baker signed that contract, he was going to be the starter.
It seems that way.
It seems that way. And I like the meritocracy thing. Now, look, there's certain guys, nobody's going to...
Word of the day.
Nobody's going to bump Levante David.
No.
And I understand that. You know, nobody's bumping Brent Grimes, and I understand that. But, you know, doesn't McDonald have a fighting chance? And Cutter's answer was they're all going to be in a rotation, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a nice rotation. But, Steve, you made this point. It's a matter of pride to start. It matters. It matters to the player. And I don't like any idea of Baker being anointed on March 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And it can never change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that's fair to Clinton McDonald, who I think is a decent player.
Yeah, Clinton, his biggest issue is staying healthy. And, you know, that's not his problem.
He's going to play less snaps this year, and that's going to help
McDonald.
You're
being way too diplomatic, Ira. You asked the coach who's the lead dog in the fight here, McDonald or Baker, and he said it doesn't matter. That's the biggest pile of horse crap ever. You know that.
That tells you that
they're undecided.
I think it tells me that Baker's going to start. I mean, that's what I took away from it.
Well, you know what? If Dirk Koetter's going to tell his team all year long, and you just said it a second ago, start fast. Well, to start fast, you put your best player on the field.
Thank you.
So,
and Dirk Koetter's always talking about the offensive line. We're going to get the five best guys out there. He says that. So
maybe Baker's
to your point.
Grading out better than we think he is. you know?
Come on, Ira. Grading out.
Based on what? Heckling kickers in practice?
Look, behind Jameis Winston? I don't want Clinton McDonald being on the field for 62 plays.
No.
And I don't want McCoy on the field for 65 plays. So I love the idea of the rotation. But, Steve, starting matters. It matters to the players. It matters to the other players that I'm working my butt off here,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be the starter. Mm-hmm. And it seems a little shadowy what's going on next to McCoy at D-tackle.
Mm,
a little shadowy.
And then Koetter rolls out there without even being asked. Baker's, you know, he's nursing injuries all since the spring. He's hurt.
Well, then doesn't want to talk about injuries.
What's he doing on the field? Let's go to New Orleans, Ira, for a second. You're a sage of all NFL, Hall of Fame voter, the only one in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Times didn't realize what a sage you are. They buy the Tribune. They get rid of you. What the hell? That's why I don't read the paper. So...
You can buy the paper, but you can't buy me, DeKemper.
Yes, you can. All right, so Ira, the Saints preseason, no Drew Brees. He hasn't thrown a pass in the preseason. No Cameron Jordan, no Adrian Peterson. They're resting everybody and their brother.
No Cam Newton for the Panthers. He ain't throwing a ball.
So you think the Bucs are going to go anywhere near that route for game three coming up?
Absolutely not. I think you'll see Jameis into the third quarter, maybe mid-third quarter. You know who's going to get a lot of snaps? Jacquizz Rodgers. And you know why? Because I think he's going to be the main guy the first three games of the season. I do. That doesn't mean he's going to get 25 carries. But I think he's going to get the most carries. Now, I almost knocked you over with a feather the other day, Isbitz, when Cutter said Charles Sims is having an outstanding camp. I thought you were going to fall over. And I don't mean heat-related. He did go out of his way to praise Charles Sims. Sims is running the ball a little better than he did last year, Lee. Now, that's a low bar. That's a low bar.
Well, what was it? I can't remember if it was a practice or a game that he got a first down running up the middle. And I said, I wrote on Twitter, this is the equivalent of a sighting of Sasquatch. Charles Sims runs up the middle for a first down. And they're like, whoa. Hey, maybe they found it. Although in Jacksonville, he was twinkle toes, and only two or three people caught this. He was dancing behind the line of scrimmage. He got the ball around the left end, and he did his dance like he was backing up Bruno Mars or Britney Spears. And I wrote on Twitter, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And only one or two people caught that.
You know, Steve, the one thing we might be able to say definitively about the backfield is, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, again, Jeremy McNichols doesn't seem to be a big factor.
Not now, yeah.
Steve, he doesn't look like he's going to make much of an impact, maybe the first half of the season. He's learning the position. There's a lot to learn. And he's still got a ways to go, Steve. So I'm not looking for McNichols, even during those first three games without Martin. I don't see McNichols being a big factor here. It's gonna be Rodgers, Sims, and Barber taking up the slack. And I think it's mostly going to be Rodgers.
So where do you stand on Doug Martin through two preseason games, Ira?
I think he's helped himself. That doesn't mean ultimately, and again, nobody's saying anything definitive, whether it's Cutter or Light. They're dancing. You talk about dancing. these guys belong, with Aaron Andrews on Dancing with the Stars over there. There's some great tap dancing going on. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to say about Doug Martin. But I'll say it. If they can't say it, I'll say it. If the running game's good and the team's 2-1 or 3-0, Doug Martin's in a lot of trouble. That's my opinion.
Ira, I'll ask you this. Let's get a little bigger picture. Lee, tell me what you think here. You know, what was the theme of this offseason?
Weapons for Winston.
Explosiveness. A need to be explosive. That was the number one key for rebuilding this offense, explosiveness. No explosion in the backfield, no explosion in the passing game. So we get DeSean Jackson.
Chunks of yards, yes.
Exactly. Now, has Doug Martin, in his 9 carries, with his longest being 11 yards, and what he's done in the passing game, has he looked explosive at all to you?
Well, last year he didn't have a 20-yard run, Lee. That's absurd. That's crazy. Small sample size, Steve. I'm not ready to make any grandiose statements.
Has he looked explosive to you, Ira?
I think he looks quicker than last year. That's as far as I'll say.
Fair.
I don't see any of those backs breaking out 40, 50-yard runs.
I don't see any of these backs remotely connected to the Pro Bowl, if that's what you ask me. Not now. And there's nothing I've seen in training camp where you could say, you know, one of these guys is a top 12 running back in the NFL. No.
All right, now, Ira, I've got a trade proposal for you, okay, trade, because this ties into our conversation, and we gotta try to be big thinkers here on the podcast.
But you trade me head up for what the buck? What's the trade going to be?
No, I'm not trading you, Ira. but as far as trading goes and drafting, you will be August 28th, Monday, 6:30 p.m. Ira will be joining the Todd Wright Fantasy Football, Joe Bucks Fan, Hooters Fantasy Draft, at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Now, if you want to get in and press the flesh all night with Ira, not all night, but a lot, long time.
And I will take suggestions. You
and
know.
Play fantasy football in a live snake draft with Ira, that's still available. We still have a handful of seats left, not too many. But again, this is Monday night coming up, August 28th. All you got to do, and the info is on joebucksfan.com, email your name and phone number to Todd Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Again, all the info is on the website, and you can get an invitation to play in the Fantasy Football League live draft. A lot of fun. You can buy Ira a beer. I don't think Hooters has a beet salad on the menu, but they might have something close to a Riesling.
What if I go in there and kick everybody's ass in this fantasy draft?
And you get to play all year long with Ira Kaufman. How good is that?
What if I go in there and beat out Todd Wright, leave him in the dust? I mean, I got to get a bonus out of this or something.
Yeah, you know what? I will come up with a bonus. Next podcast Thursday, I will come up with an incentive for you if you come in top four in your league.
Top four,
top four, you're going to get a cash bonus. That keep you engaged.
$20, what the hell?
What if I take Charles Sims in the second round over there, really?
That's your problem.
then good night to your fantasy
good night,
draft.
Nurse. All right.
So, and of course, Ira, if you want to hang out with Ira, opening day, all the details, the big party in Miramar, Florida the night before, fanretreat.com/Miami, fanretreat.com/Miami. I don't have a new update on the RSVPs, Ira.
What's the time of the event?
But I know they're over 120. And I also learned, you're going to love this, that the 120 does not include the friends and company folk of fanretreat.com themselves. So that 120 is probably already 145. And on top of that, you don't need an RSVP if you want to come to the party. All the details, fanretreat.com/Miami. And
Lee the Kemper's going to be wandering around.
And Lee will be there as well.
I did RSVP, by the way.
And Lee RSVP'd like a good soldier. And Lee will be eating and drinking the free stuff.
And
just
then we're
like
all going
else.
To the game the next day.
I will be in town running the big watch party,
right.
An official Stick Carriers event. Bucks Uncensored and JoeBucksFan.com teaming up at Abe's Place in Clearwater. It's going to be a blowout of all blowouts.
Wow.
Opening day, we're starting at 11:30.
Haircuts in the back?
I don't know about that. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. I don't know
and
yet.
And I'll be doing my 10 takeaways after the game.
You'll be writing about the game.
That's
yes,
right.
You will. You will. But at Abe's, actually, we're doing all the giveaways at Abe's. They got jerseys, hats. All the giveaways are going to be finished by 12:30. Want to get everybody there early at 11:30. Eat, get pumped up. Justin will be leading the chants by like 11:30, 11:45. It's going to be wild.
What do you got planned for the home opener in terms of the Stick Carriers? Anything going on?
Come on, 1 week at a time. The Stick Carriers, they're going crazy this Saturday. They're going to be marching into the stadium. There's a parade. Listen to Bucks Uncensored. It's going to be pretty cool. I think they're gathering at the ticket windows to have a march in at least an hour in advance of the preseason game on Saturday against the Browns.
Kind of like what they do at Georgia Tech, it sounds like. One time I went and saw a Florida State Georgia Tech game up in Atlanta. It was it was a really, really cool college experience. And they have fraternity and Greek row on a street that leads to the stadium. And I guess about an hour before game time, you know, all these sororities and fraternities have parties in their front yards. And I guess about an hour before game time, they had that car, you know, the rambling wrecked car. They have a car and a band starts marching down the street, and like Pied Piper, all the Greeks come out of their houses, follow the band into the stadium.
Ooh.
It's really, really cool experience. That's what this sounds like. They're going to parade into the stadium.
By the way, Stephen, I was chastised.
Chastised?
I was chastised. I was...
Not eviscerated, but chastised.
I was chewed out a bit a few days ago because somebody saw my tweet and maybe a line in the column where I said that Hard Knocks better get on the ball and at least show when Cutter walked over to the Stick Carriers and asked for that oil painting and held it up and asked for that chant again. And I got chastised saying, very self-serving from Joe Bucks Fan. You want to get that on Hard Knocks. It's got no place on Hard Knocks. It's a non-story. And, Steve, there's still some skeptics out there that the Stick Carriers was a one-time event. You're never going to hear from them again. It's overhyped. There's nothing to it. Nobody cares about it. It doesn't belong on Hard Knocks. Steve, am I off base here, Mr. Isbitz? Can I get 5 minutes on Hard Knocks?
You're not off base. Who said this to you? Media member, a fan?
Somebody that has worked at One Buck for a long time. Long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Somebody who's worked at One Buck for a long time.
It's amazing how there are people in the room that despise the fans.
And
worked at One Buck, so they work for the Buccaneers?
I'm not going into any details here, DeKemper.
I'm trying to help the listeners out.
I was dressed down a little bit, DeKemper. Dressed down that, you know, this Stick Carrier thing is a fluke. It's not going to sustain, and it's overhyped. Lee?
It was so overhyped, even the Tampa Bay Times wrote about it.
Well, that's just silly stuff. I don't even know what
it's
to
so
say.
Overhyped.
It's silly
Good
stuff.
Morning Football was talked about it for, what, 4 days in a row?
You're going to see the Stick Carriers again. This is not
it's going to be going all season long, and any sort of excited fan group, take the stick carrier name off it, any pumped up, cheering, excited fan group, when they're in the stadium, that's when they grow. Because they feed that, people want to be a part of that energy. When they're chanting Jameis Winston before the game, well, people want to join in. They don't care if they're stick carriers or not. They want to join that chant. It's
mob mentality.
It's common.
You know why this is a big story, Lee? In my view, it is a legitimate
sage wisdom
big story.
Coming.
You know why? Because fan apathy in Tampa has been a major storyline for almost a decade.
For good reason. This team was irrelevant.
You know, pack them in with the Giant fans. Cutter's had it.
Yeah.
He's disgusted by this. He's made it a story. Mm-hmm. So why it's legitimate.
That's a hell of a point. Cutter's the one that's made it a story because he talked about it. The head coach.
He talks about the reaction in the Seattle game, helped them win that game.
Ira, he went on a 2-minute rant on your podcast. Why he said, quote, "I'm extremely fired up about the stick carriers," and he explained why. So it's, for anyone to say it's a non-issue, whatever, it is a big deal. Otherwise, whoever said that, if they are in the media, they should never, ever, ever write about the size of a crowd or the enthusiasm of the crowd or the noise on third down. I mean, hell, essentially they're saying that's irrelevant. Cutter said on SiriusXM NFL Radio, where he first said it on the podcast, but he clarified, he explained that it was several games in 2015 when the Bucs had to go to silent count at home.
That was unbelievable.
He further qualified several games
and
silent count at home.
And he said that was embarrassing, right?
Yeah, it was beyond embarrassing. So that affects the football, people. That's the football end of this. So that's a big deal. All right, Ira. I threw a trade talk, and I think it's fair to say that the running back stable hasn't wowed anybody in this preseason. And if the Buccaneers believe that they're a playoff team and a Super Bowl team right now, and I think they believe that in walls of One Buck Place. But in Buffalo, Ira, Anquan Boldin just walked away.
Again with the Anquan Boldin?
No. Anquan Boldin just, he walked away, just retired. He left the team, and Buffalo was counting on him as like a number three receiver, as a full-time guy. They just ditched Sammy Watkins in their continued quest to acquire draft picks. Buffalo now has 6 picks in the first 3 rounds next year. And there's a lot of feeling that they're sort of hopeless on this season on the offensive side of the ball. There's a lot going out of Buffalo that LeSean McCoy might be somebody they'd be consider moving. Now, if you're the Bucs, McCoy coming off 13 touchdowns, 1,300-yard season. He's had a Hall of Fame career to this point when you look at the numbers.
Explosive player,
epitome of explosive. Averaged 5.5 yards a carry last year.
Catches the ball,
4.7 yards a carry in his career on average. He's seemingly ageless at 29. Would you make a trade for LeSean McCoy and give up like a second-round pick for this guy? Or send him Doug Martin and a pick?
I'd do it yesterday.
If it took that. You would do it?
I would do it yesterday. Now, you're assuming that they're not going to hold up a team for a first and a second. Price is right. I don't even think twice. LeSean McCoy is Doug Martin at his best without the headaches. That's what he is. You know, he's as good or better than Doug Martin during the 2 seasons that Doug Martin has really been out exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a suspension hanging over his head and a relapse to worry about. So
how tradable is Doug Martin? I don't think he's tradable at all.
Well, you're not going to get McCoy for Doug Martin.
They throw him Doug Martin and a draft.
Now, of course, what are they telling their fans, Buffalo? You know, you think they're already packing in the season, in your opinion?
It's a new regime. Brand new head coach, brand new GM.
Not connected to anybody.
First time head coach, first time GM. They're not connected to anyone. They just traded Sammy Watkins.
Lee, McCoy's done it for 2 different teams, 2 different offensive lines, 2 different schemes. I'm all in on LeSean McCoy if he's available.
Since we're playing fantasy here, which I don't think this will ever happen, but since we're playing fantasy, not the Rachel Watson kind of fantasy, football fantasy. So that's my kind of fantasy football, Rachel Watson. At any rate.
You ain't getting her for a second-round pick.
No. No, that's top-shelf money, man. At any rate, speaking of rates, It's been sitting there, almost puked on himself. He's laughing.
You better clean this up.
Yeah, I better get going here. Let's talk, since we're talking fantasy about trading for McCoy, or LeSean McCoy, what do you do when you trade? You trade your strengths. Dirk Koetter yesterday was talking about how deep they are at linebacker. You know, this Riley Bullo, which came to everybody's attention because of Hard Knocks. Koetter said yesterday, this guy's doing nothing wrong. His problem is they're likely only going to keep five linebackers. It's a numbers game. Well, if you are that deep at a position and the guy is probably going to get aced out because there's no room in the end for him and he's playing and practicing well, doing everything they ask, well, there you go. You're going to be – if you're going to trade somebody, you trade at a position of
depth.
Yeah,
but Riley Bulla has no value to the Buffalo Bills.
I didn't say trade Riley Bulla.
I'm
just saying if he's as good as Koetter saying he is, but he's still going to be aced out because of a numbers game, if you're going to make a trade, you trade from your strength.
Is he implying that the Quan Alexander or Levante should be on the move?
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying they should or anything.
All I'm saying is if you can get McCoy for a second rounder, I'm doing it yesterday.
Lee, do you do it? You trade a second round pick for LeSean McCoy, put all this running back stuff to bed?
Well, the Bucs are going to be as good as they think they are. That second-round pick is basically a glorified third.
That's not bad either.
I would probably.
You might be talking about pick number 52 or something like that.
On the linebacker front, Koetter made it clear that Daryl Smith played all three linebacker positions last year, the Bucs were able to get away with five. But he made it clear that that's really a rarity and almost impossible to do again.
Aren't they saying that about Beckwith?
Well, yesterday he pretty much said five. He was pretty adamant. He said if you're going to keep more than five, then some other team or some other position is going to be thin.
I thought Beckwith is the Swiss Army knife this year.
Active or on the roster?
Roster five. He's going to get five.
Well, that's a change in heart for Koetter because he was very clear on that previously. But then it's dicey for the Bucs because Devontae Bond, they're not going to cut
him at all.
So they almost have to, if they want to keep him, he's going to have to be the sixth linebacker probably.
Or Pup.
There's the Pup, and then there's the injured return Pup. Who knows what the real deal is with Damar Dotson. But, linebacker's interesting. I don't know.
By the way, the other night, did my eyes deceive me, or did I see Levante David come in free on another blitz and sack the
guy? Yeah, and they should do that more often. They should do that
Mike
more
Smith.
Often.
Mike Smith. Memo, Mike Smith. Hear me out,
you know,
Mike Smith.
It worked for Schiano.
Hey, the guy's a good blitzing linebacker.
Yes.
Well, I mean, they didn't touch him. But if you don't blitz him, you're never going to know if he's going to get to the quarterback. And he can blitz. He's got the speed.
You know, as soon as we're speaking about linebackers, this is linebacker related. You know, Koetter saying that they're so deep in linebacker. I know I've said this before on the podcast, that I really believe, and it may only be 10%, but I really believe they're going to have a 34 defense. If you are that deep at linebacker, hell yeah, you want to play some 34 defense. And technically, I know they're not built for that, but I'm not saying they should go full-time. I'm not saying they should go 30%. But darn right, you should be playing. If you have that many linebackers, and let's think about it, Noah Spence technically is a linebacker. That was his position in college, outside linebacker. It was, you know, Steve's always talking about how he's undersized, which is accurate for a defensive end. He was an outside linebacker. So technically, you have another one there. They are built for a 43, no question, Ivan. I'm not suggesting they flip schemes. But if you are that deep at linebacker and you want to get Spence on the field to rush the passer and he's undersized and he's struggling, and put him in his natural position.
Steve, a little perspective, please. Do I have to provide perspective on this podcast?
Well, can I? The first perspective I'll provide is, I don't even know if it qualifies as perspective is, but I don't believe, I'll raise my hand, I don't believe the Bucs are deep at linebacker.
I was just going to say, they got two guys who haven't played a snap in the end. Yeah. Bond hasn't played a snap, I don't
Beckwith
think.
And Bond haven't played Beckwith. Beckwith and Bond haven't played a snap. Bond is dinged up, and Adarius Glanton, this is his third year here, and they went out and they saw him and they evaluated him and said, let's go draft Bond and Beckwith because we got Adarius Glanton.
I mean, they like what they got, but they're unproven backups.
Riley Bulla has not played in the first half of a preseason game that I've seen, and he's undrafted. He doesn't have the skills. He's a nice player, you know, from what we see, but let's pretend Hard Knocks didn't exist. What would we think of Riley Bulla?
We wouldn't have known him.
Right.
We wouldn't have
known
him.
So, I mean, come on. I don't think they're that deep, but we've been proven wrong before by coaches. I don't know.
You know,
it sounds like coach speak, though.
Where are they deep? Maybe in the receiving tight end core. They might be deep because
that's true.
Reedy's had a nice camp. Reedy's played himself Well, he's played so well, you haven't mentioned Anquan Boldin in a couple of weeks over there, Steve. And by the way, let's salute the man. He had a heck of an NFL career, Boldin. He just retired.
Well, Ira, since you are the Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, you know, I was listening to Kurt Warner on the radio today. What a presentation Warner just gave for Boldin to make the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's got to say the same thing about Larry Fitzgerald. He wants both of the guys, you know, both of his guys.
He wants all his receivers, you know. Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce.
Boldin reminds me maybe of Hines Ward a little bit.
A little bit. He's a tough guy.
Physical, tough guy. Both guys that I want to take, I would take a look at. I would not dismiss them out of hand.
Well, yeah. I think look at the franchise Ward plays for and look at the numbers he put up. They stack right up there.
They were a run first team, Pittsburgh back then.
And they stack up very well with Stallworth, who's in the Hall of Fame.
You know, to me, Ward was a glue player. You know, a guy you can win with.
Yeah.
Hines Ward.
You know, he had that winning mentality.
I think he was better than his numbers showed.
Like Chris Baker.
Boy, he's on fire today, Lee.
Now, here's one for you. You know, Cutter was talking about the roster yesterday. And I'm just like most fans. When you're looking for that fifth receiver, you aren't paying attention to special teams. You're always looking about what he does on the field as far as catching. And Cutter was emphasizing it's not just the return game you're looking for that number five receiver. It's all kinds of special teams, stuff that a lot of people gloss over, or they go to the bathroom or go get another beer when the special teams play. Gunners, blocking on kick return thing. It's all over special teams, not just return. So if a guy, you know, pick a name, Reedy, Huff, whomever's number five receiver, he may be lousy at return, but he may be excellent at other special teams positions. And they're looking at not just return, but overall special teams play for that number five guy.
Speaking of special teams, Mr. Isbitz, what is your level of concern with Mr. Nick Folk? I'll give you mine. Mine is minor concern. I think he's going to get the job. In Cutter's mind, he'd have to be terrible not to get this job.
Well, he has the job. I don't know.
Has.
He has the job.
I don't think he's being challenged right now. He's not being challenged.
No, right now he has the job. So would they hesitate to pull the trigger on a new kicker if Folk sucks? I don't think so.
I think he's going to get a lot longer. He's going to get a longer leash than Aguayo, I think.
A whole year?
In a sense, in a way.
I'm not concerned about Folk because Folk is coming off a great year. 87%, I believe, he converted with the Jets. And the Jets, everybody and their brother knows that they are just...
He was a salary dump.
Salary dump because they're trying to lose. So I'm not that concerned, but missed extra point.
Low kick.
Unacceptable. Low kick. You know, they're telling me, oh, well, Calais Campbell, you know, he's known for his big reach. Come on. You know?
It was a low kick. It enabled him to block.
Both things are true. He's good at blocking kicks, and it was a low kick.
Yeah, exactly. He's not Kareem up there, you know? I mean, come on. And, you know, the field goal is a field goal, but it is concerning as a Bucs fan in general. They don't have a good kicking situation right now, and they've done so much to try to fix it. You know, Kyle Brinza, I believe, is still out there. That's a possibility.
That directionally challenged Kyle Brinza?
That look of Cutter dropping his head, that spoke volumes.
Well, I will repeat, and I've written this three or four different times on JoeBucsFan.com, what Jason Light said on SiriusXM NFL Radio roughly 10, 11 days ago. He said when he was talking about Aguayo was still on the team at the time. I think 2 days later he got cut. But anyway, Light said about Aguayo and Folk, I hope it's one of these two guys. Now, you're talking about dancing about Martin. That's not dancing. That is damning. That is not an endorsement in any way, shape, or form. When you say, I hope it's one of these two guys,
I guess
that means there's some serious doubt in your mind.
Some people are suggesting that the Bucs may have cut Aguayo too early. I find that ludicrous.
Well, look, the guy went to Chicago. His first kick with the Bears wasn't even close. It was miskicked. I mean, he's got mental issues. Anybody who floats that is just out of their mind. Stupid. All right, Ira. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of your podcast and your Monday, Wednesday, and Friday columns on JoeBucsFan.com. And even your 10 takeaways, your famous 10 takeaways, which will begin again with the regular season, what Ira churns out after each ball game. And let me send you back to this, Ira. You know, a huge scare at One Buck Palace this week. Huge scare. Damar Dotson, groin injury, MRI. And now we find out Cutter didn't put a timetable on it other than saying at least a week, which you would have to assume is encouraging because he didn't say at least a month.
Didn't they immediately go out and get an offensive tackle?
It's just some, you know, some waiver wire stuff. But
Well, part of that is Benenok's out too, and they need bodies for practice.
Yeah, so. And they've been resting guys. So the O-line, though, the Dotson thing, I know you were pushing in the spring to draft a right tackle. Nobody listened to the Sage.
Well,
what's your take on that whole situation?
Well, Lee, he's not a Pro Bowl player, DeMar Dotson. He commits too many penalties. Mm-hmm. But he's okay. He's okay. He's not the star of that offensive line by a long shot. He's the longest tenured Buck, Steve, 2009, I believe he came along, 1 year before McCoy. He's been a stalwart player. He has respect in the locker room. Of course, we're spoiled because he's a go-to guy for the three of us. He's a good quote, no question about it. But, of course, that doesn't help him block a left end coming around to take Winston's head off. I'm going to take Light at his word here. He told me last week that if this was the regular season, he might be able to suit up right now. Mm-hmm. They don't seem overly concerned. But he's a veteran player, Lee. Groin injury, not to be trifled with. You won't see him. You won't see him in the next 2 weeks. And then supposedly he's going to be ready for Miami. Dolphins have some good defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Ali Marpet's going to be looking up and looking at Ndamukong Suh mm-hmm. right over his head. So I think depth at tackle, Steve, is suspect. I do. I think it's suspect. I don't know if it's Benenok. I don't know if it's Pamphile. You're moving Pamphile from left guard. Now you're moving Evan Smith in. He hasn't been a regular in a couple of years. It's not a strength of this football team, Steve. Right tackle. I think this could be if this lingers, mm-hmm. it's significant.
Sure.
Right now, I take it at its word that it's not significant.
Well, yesterday, Dotson was really poo-pooing it. The same thing I had last training camp. You know, same thing, no big deal. Because he was really poo-pooing it. And you're like, you know, Cutter at least a week, and Dotson, same thing I had last year, no big deal.
Tweaked the groin, tweaked. Yeah. You haven't tweaked your groin in a couple of years, I hear.
Oh.
thank you, Ira. I'm not sure what that means.
Well,
okay. All right, Ira, come on. What the hell's going on? All right.
Oh, by the way, I loved how Cutter channeled Greg Schiano.
What did he say?
DeMar Dotson has a groin.
Oh, boy.
That was a classic Greg Schiano.
Classic Schiano.
Yeah, Claiborne's got a shoulder. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me say this right now. Can I say this right now?
Please.
This is August 21st or 22nd with the podcast, the 22nd. You ready, Lee? The Bucs will draft a tackle in the first round of the 2018 draft. They will draft a tackle.
I will lay $20. That doesn't happen.
We have a $20 bet
did
here.
Did you say first round?
I believe I did say first round.
No.
They're not doing that, Ira. No.
I believe I did say first round.
Only way that happens if Donovan Smith blows a knee out. Only way that happens.
All right, I'm not taking the bet, but you guys will mark the tape, as they say.
No, you're going to have to name a position. You can't just have the field, and I name tackle.
Here we got the qualifications.
There's always a qualification. There's money at stake.
Ira saw his money flying away. Now you got to pick positions. Well, what the hell is that? That's a Brooklyn bet, you know?
They need a tackle.
Speaking of Brooklyn, when are you going to tell us this story about your experience at a McDonald's filing a story in West Harlem?
I was hanging out there for quite a while.
Oh, let's save that for the third
day. Another day. No rush. No rush on that. All right, Kaufman. Simeon Rice in town.
Great to see.
Spent a couple of days at practice, held court. Anybody who hasn't heard the audio of Rice on JoeBucksFan.com telling a fabulous story of how John Gruden suspended him for missing a meeting, and then he comes back to the team, and Gruden doesn't like that Rice is now on time for meetings and says, "Hey, Rice, you got to be a maverick. We need you to be you, not a guy who comes on time. We need you to be you." And Rice is in disbelief because what the hell? But anyway, what do you make of Rice back here? Among the other Bucks who have really shown a strong interest in this specific team and roster, Rice doing a lot of hands-on coaching on the field.
Well, one of the things I loved what Rice was talking about, Lee, and I know Chris Baker's got the nickname Swaggy, Lee, but Rice's nickname was Swagger. He brought it.
Mm-hmm. He had game.
And game to back it up.
Yep.
But he talked about how you have to have confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was the best player on the field, Steve, for most of his career.
Damn close.
He was the best player between the two teams.
He was damn close.
And
he
was playing next to Warren Sapp,
yeah.
You know, for some of that. And then he backed it up for the most part. But when he gets into that stream of consciousness, Steve, look out. I think Isbitt's asked him one question. He spoke for 8 minutes, Lee. I mean, that's beautiful.
His old radio show was beautiful. When he had that radio show at 10:10, you didn't know what to expect. He
you
was great.
You didn't. Because,
just let him roll.
He loves to go, he's cosmopolitan, goes to Europe. Now he's a director. So yes. I go, and I've seen Sim's first two movies. They weren't bad, especially, for a guy that's starting out. So I go, Sim, what's your next project? You got anything going? Yeah. I'm in the middle of something, man. It's going to be good. It's a documentary. So a couple of minutes later, comes around to me again. I go, what's the movie about? What's this doc? He goes, it's about me. He's doing a documentary of himself. That's Simeon Rice, man.
Yep. My favorite Simeon Rice story was when he used to do that radio show on 1010 locally in Tampa Bay. And it was J.P. Peterson and Dave Druda. Dave Druda was J.P.'s producer. And actually, it was just an interview. It was not the show. It was an interview is what it was. And Simeon was bankrolling his sister, who was an aspiring singer. And J.P. asked him, what kind of music does she sing? And Simeon, remind you, this is the brother of the singer that's talking here. What kind of music does she sing? And Rice responds, panty dropping music.
Oh, my. Now, he's trying to instill that kind of swagger in the young players like Noah Spence. And he said all the right things about Noah Spence, but you take that with a grain of salt. Steve, what's he going to say? The kid doesn't have any talent. There's nothing to work with. He's trying to get Spence to diversify his game. Now, one thing that never came up with Simeon Rice, he was not known as a run stuffer, to put it mildly.
Yeah, he struggled to run. Yeah.
He struggled. And, of course, Noah Spence, I think, is facing that same kind of scrutiny. And the Bucks would like him to be a three-down
lineman.
But
Rice became a capable run stopper.
Capable. He was not Strahan.
No.
Strahan was better.
Yeah, it took work, took some years, but he came around. That was a big knock on him when the Bucks got him.
I think it's only good that he's teaching some techniques to some of these young guys. And, of course, Sim was a workaholic. See, that's one part of his game that nobody talked about a lot, Lee, because they think he's all show and swagger and ego. But the three of us saw him many times after practice ended. He keeps circling the field.
Is that right?
Yeah. He'd be the last guy off the field. He put the work in, Steve, so that's why I respect
him. Yeah, a different kind of situation with him and Spence. I mean, Rice was the number three overall pick. Big expectation coming right in, and he delivered.
And
he was 12 or 13 sacks in his first year.
He was an absolute stud on top show, on the Big Ten. I remember seeing him play in college. He was, at the time, Illinois had one of the best defenses in the country. They had the year Penn State went undefeated in 94, they had them on the ropes. Penn State made an 80-yard touchdown drive with like 2 minutes to go to win the game and kept their season undefeated. They had an excellent defense, and Rice was the star of that. Rice and Greg Hardy, if I remember right, who was a tackle for the Jaguars. Spence was at, granted he played well at Ohio State, but Spence was at Western Kentucky or whatever, Eastern Kentucky or something like that. And obviously Rice was in the Big Ten and then signed.
He easily could have been the Super Bowl MVP, Lee. But that one was wrapped up early.
Yeah.
Because, Dwight Smith did his thing over there.
The good Dexter Jackson.
Dexter Jackson. So that thing was like over at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
But Rice was a
beast.
He was a beast that whole playoff.
He was a terror to Rich Gannon.
All right, Ira, I've got three rapid fire questions for you. Three rapid fire questions. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the
seven. He said rapid fire. All right, go ahead.
Scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the most extreme. 10 being the most extreme. 1 being not too worried. How horrified are you by the play of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Horrified. Hira.
Six. I'll say it for all three of us and for Buck Nation. Let's hope Jameis Winston stays healthy. Fitzpatrick's camp has been lackluster, to put it mildly. He hasn't looked good in the preseason. He does have some intangibles in terms of what he's teaching Winston, but he needs to get his act together for Buck fans to have a little bit more of a comfort feeling.
All right, number two, Ira. Doug Martin, obviously he's not playing opening day. Now we go week three of the preseason. Will he play this week? Is there any reason to play Doug Martin on Saturday?
Zero.
Don't you want to try to keep this guy as fresh as possible?
They want to see Jacquizz Rodgers get 10 carries. They want Barber to get about 7. You throw Sims about four, and you let McNichols clean up the rest.
So you're
not going to see much of Doug Martin the rest of the
so
way.
So you're basically saying Doug Martin's going to be put on ice for 5 weeks?
He's on ice.
Wow.
Now they're at the point where we're not going to have this guy for 3 weeks. We're not giving him any carries.
Wow.
Bucks run defense. It was a little better against Cincinnati, only 3.7 yards a carry. But against the Jaguars, the first team defense allowed, I believe, 1 yard. 1 yard. Jaguars couldn't run the ball at all. Have they turned a corner?
No, because no Leonard Fournette, and he's going to be the guy there. It's going to be a big key in the season opener. Jay Ajayi's waiting over there. He had 3 200-yard games last year. Three. You know, most guys, if they have one, the guy's considered a stud. He had three. The guy's a good runner, you know. He's not Adrian Peterson 2012, but he's good. And with Jay Cutler, I'm running Jai 20, 25 times.
Oh, sure.
You know, I don't care how much he knows Adam Gase's system. I'm tired of hearing about that. All of a sudden, you know, what am I expecting? Jay Cutler to be Aaron Rodgers over here because he knows the guy's system? He knew the guy's system before and he wasn't any good.
Oh, no. 2 years ago with Gase, he had one of his better seasons. Well, I can't go there, Ira.
He's a turnover machine if you make him throw too much. If I'm the Bucks, I'm loading up on Ajayi, and I'm making Cutler beat me. I'm keeping an eye on the Buck run defense.
All right, Ira, before we hit the last topic on your podcast, I want to say you're in rare form. You're doing a good job, Ira.
I'm bringing the passion, baby. I'm bringing it.
You know the food's coming. That's why
no
you're
gassers
excited.
Gassers for me after this.
No gassers. Oh, well, you know what? You went there. You know, Lee was there witnessing. What did you make of the Cutter having the Bucks run gassers?
Well, I think anyone who says it has nothing to do with the way Cutter's thinking how practice is going, I think that's silly. Some of it is about stamina and getting ready for Miami's heat September 10th. No question about it. Maybe the majority. But at least a little bit of part of it is he hasn't been very happy with practices. He just hasn't. He told me the other day, I asked him about it, and he said... He didn't say sloppy. He said
sluggish.
Sluggish. Boy. Sluggish is not a good word for Dirk Cutter.
Well, I'll say this. Yesterday, offense, all practice long, it was anything but sluggish. Anything but sluggish. Maybe the deep, you know, and I think we've seen some comments on JoeBucksFan.com. We're like, oh, man, last week or so, the cornerbacks looked lousy. Well, Brown Grimes hasn't been out there, number one.
Yeah.
Maybe the defense was sluggish, but the offense was sharp as attack. I mean, yesterday they put on a show. That was, and I wrote about this on JoeBucksFan.com. That was Magic Johnson Lakers showtime, what they were doing yesterday.
It was. Ryan Smith looked a little better, Steve, again, in Jacksonville. And he needed to look a little better.
Hard Knocks tomorrow night, episode 3. You know, you've had some prediction going on here.
I'm the voice in the wilderness for the stick carriers. Can I get a segment?
What do you think is coming? What do you think they're missing?
Well, we're going to have another look at, you know, Gerald McCoy's man cave. Maybe this time he's going to be, you know, the Thing rather than
what about Cousin
rather
It?
Than Batman. Miko, they you know, they've come and gone. Miko's come and gone. She didn't have any, anything outlandish.
Well,
say
the
hanky panky.
Yeah,
you like that,
don't we all?
So what are we looking for? The Aguayo thing's behind us. They got to show the Cutter head drop at the folk.
Yeah,
got to show that part. You look for somebody new to emerge that's going to get their 5 minutes of fame on that show. You know what? I'm going with Ali Marpet. I think he's an interesting guy.
He is.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And now he's playing, and he played well. I wish they get the Marpet family into this because that's quite a family.
Yeah, that's an interesting family,
so
yeah.
I'm going with Marpet. You hear that? Hard Knocks, get your tape together, and let's see a little Marpet Tuesday.
Now, after the game, after that Thursday night game, Cutter admitted he unloaded on Jameis, and they asked him, what'd you say? He goes, I can't say it here.
Oh, I got to hear that.
Yeah, that's got to be in there. And Jameis admitted he tore him a new one, so that you figure that's going to be in there.
You know, Ira, on that note, do you think Jameis this year at some point, because Cutter, obviously, all the gloves are off, the pressure is going to mount, especially if this team is good, and there's a lot on the line. Do you believe that Jameis ever fires back at Cutter like he did with Jimbo Fisher? And do you believe that happens this year?
I don't. This is the pros. This is where you make your bread, your money. I love that about Winston. I and I asked Cutter about it specifically the other day. I think I badgered him. He was tired of talking about it, but I said, from a coaching perspective, do you feel blessed that you have a 23-year-old that doesn't take withering criticism personally? And he says, all this kid wants to do is get better. Mm-hmm. He goes, I don't care if he did take it personally. I'm still going to coach him up. But it's certainly, you feel better as a coach when you're dealing with a kid who can turn the cheek and go about his business. No, I don't think he snaps at Cutter because
he respects him.
Cutter's been doing this a long time. He respects Cutter. And when Jameis does well, Cutter lavishes praise on him, too. It goes both ways. It's not a one-way street with Cutter.
Lee, what do you think? Do you think Jameis fires back one time this
year? I think
year?
Cutter would have to go completely over the top, like Jimbo Fisher used to go over the top, like a Bobby Knight kind of thing. And one of the examples, and I read this recently, where Jameis Winston and Jimbo Fisher went at it. Jimbo Fisher was flat wrong. You know, like, hey, that read, that was supposed to be X. You read it as a Y. Winston said it was a Y. Fisher said, no, it wasn't, and they went at it on the sidelines. A couple days later, after Fisher watched the film, came out public like, Jameis was right, I was wrong. So if it's something like that, if Cutter's dead wrong about something and he's way over the top about it, maybe Jameis does. Maybe. If Jameis knows, he's absolutely correct. But I don't see it because he respects Cutter a lot.
I think the Glazers like the fact that Cutter's hard on Winston. I think they like that.
All right, last one, Ira, just because this wasn't even on my list.
A bonus track?
I crave your sage wisdom on this one. I mentioned this in my podcast, and it just came to me now again. At the end of last week's Hard Knocks episode, we see, as a teaser for this week, at the very, very end, we see Cutter yell at Kwon Alexander for holding in practice pass interference, and Cutter yells, hey, don't give me that look. You just lost us the game with that play. And that struck a nerve in my head because we heard Cutter tell Jameis, and you made a big deal on the podcast, we heard Cutter tell Jameis in episode one, hey, listen, you're the only guy who can lose a game for us, Jameis. And now Jameis just heard on TV that, hey, Kwon can lose a game for us too. So it was sort of the evidence of the mind games of Cutter, and that maybe he goes to guys and says, hey, you can lose the damn game for us, and you're the only one who can screw it up like this. I don't know. What do you make of that?
You know what it shows to me, Lee? And I think this is a good thing. It shows that Dirk Cutter thinks this team might do something this year. This team's going somewhere. Mm-hmm. You don't do that if you think this team's going to be 6-10.
Yeah.
You don't go overboard to some of your best players. Mm-hmm. Every game's going to count for this team because they saw what happened last year.
Yeah.
That 10-6, 9-7 difference is a killer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting out of this, Steve, is the stakes are high in Tampa,
yes.
And nobody knows that better than Dirk Cutter.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
And the Glazers love that.
Yeah, I don't know if Cutter so much was, like Steve's insinuating, he's telling it to every player, but I think the message was, Kwon, one mistake can cost us a game. One mistake, like what he did in that one mistake in a crucial situation at the end of the game, that could cost us a game.
Whereas, on the details.
Whereas Winston, obviously a quarterback can lose you a game damn easily. Like that stupid stunt Thursday night, Jameis does that in the fourth quarter against Atlanta in a close game. You know, that a quarterback can lose you a game so easy.
He just dressed down the two faces of the franchise on either side of the ball.
He did. All right, Ira, your podcast,
Speaking
iTunes.
Of dressing down, can I chew you out a couple of times?
Oh, if you want to, sure, go ahead.
No, just in general, I don't have anything specific.
Oh, okay. you got no pent-up hate. Oh, that's good. All right, iTunes for your podcast. Subscribe, get a free alert. Podbean as well, Google Play. There's also, if you go to joebucksfan.com/podcast, there's some sort of Android option.
You said I'm number one on the list over here. You got me all excited.
Latest episode in the constant rolling, mysterious iTunes rankings. One of your podcast is ranked number one.
Over Pulowski.
So the growth continues on iTunes.
When are you going to make the chart over there, isn't it?
No top 10 for me, Ira. That's your territory. That's your turn.
And Lee might be on the horizon. You never know what's
going
on.
We got Lee on the horizon. We got a new podcast. I'm just reading an email, possibly in 2 weeks as well. A pretty cool one. So who knows? All right, Ira. Also, anybody who forgot, Ira, go to joebucksfan.com. You can play fantasy football with Ira Monday night. All the details on sign up is there. It's at Hooters in Tampa. And that's about it. On Thursday, we'll be back. That's the bird. That's your bird, Ira.
And we'll talk about the game now, heading into that
we'll
game.
We'll talk about the Mighty Browns testing the Buccaneers. And we'll have all kinds of fun. We appreciate it, Sage. And get out of here. Good luck tubing down the Hiawatha River, wherever you're going.